Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel and the chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we want to read the first 6 verses of Daniel chapter 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 6, knowing the Lord will bless the reading, the short reading of his word, to all of our hearts. Please turn again to Daniel chapter 1. This afternoon I want to preach on the subject, how Daniel found himself in Babylon. And I want to base my remarks on Daniel 1 verses 1 to 3. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. And we thank thee, O God, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we pray, Lord, that as we study this passage of scripture, that it might profit our hearts and profit our souls. Indeed, Lord, that we might leave God's house saying it was good to be here, for it was here where we met with the Lord. Apply thy word to every heart. O God, as our faces differ, so do our needs. But we thank thee, Lord, that you're able to meet us all at the very point of our need. And we pray, O God, therefore to this end, that you would fill me with thy gracious Holy Spirit, that I might preach as thus and thus saith the Lord. O God, we need thee. We cast ourselves upon thee. We pray, Lord, that you would come now and bless your word. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Today I want to begin a series of messages on the life of Daniel. Daniel is one of those characters in the Bible that we all love to read about. His life, as it is recorded in the Word of God, is a life that is exciting and full of incident. Daniel was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. And he was a man who was fearless in his day and generation. Daniel, of course, was a prophet. And in the book that bears his name, there are many prophetic utterances from the lips of this prophet of God. But the book of Daniel is not only a book that contains many prophetic statements. It is also a book that is full of practical living. Daniel was a godly man who lived a godly life in the midst of an ungodly age. Therefore, as we come in these studies to consider the life of Daniel, I want to concentrate your thoughts mainly on Daniel the man and how he lived for God in Babylon. In Daniel chapter 1, we find Daniel living in the heathen land of Babylon. That was not his choice. But because of circumstances beyond his control, Daniel found himself in a place where he would not have naturally wanted to be. However, there was nothing Daniel could do about his circumstances. Only live for God to the best of his ability. And of course, that's what he did. And the book of Daniel reveals to us how this godly young man lived and shone out for God in a world of sin and wickedness. Very simply today, as an introductory message to this series of messages on the life of Daniel, I want to draw your attention to how Daniel found himself in the land of Babylon. We want to consider the events which led up to Daniel being in Babylon. And I want to base my remarks on Daniel 1, verses 1 to 3. In this text of Scripture, we see the background to why Daniel was in Babylon. I pray that the Lord will bless his word again this afternoon to all of our hearts. There's a message here, I believe, for each and every one of us. And I pray that God will take his word and write it upon our hearts afresh. I want you to notice three things. First of all, I want to draw your attention to the folly of a king. Look what it says in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. In the days of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, the nation fell into the hands of their enemies. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, marched his army to Jerusalem. He besieged Jerusalem, and he eventually conquered it. Jehoiakim was a foolish king. He was, of course, the king of Judah. But his folly can be seen in that he would not heed the word of God. Now, this text of Scripture here does not tell us that Jehoiakim would not heed the word of God. It just reveals unto us the consequences of Jehoiakim not heeding the word of God. But I want you to keep your hand in Daniel chapter 1. And I want you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 36 for a moment. Because when you study Jeremiah chapter 36, you discover that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, did three things. He resisted God's word. He rejected God's word. And he ripped up God's word and burnt it in the fire. And because of this folly of turning away from the plain teaching of God's truth, there was consequences for Jehoiakim and the nation of Judah. Look what it says there in Jeremiah 36 and the verse 23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi, had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, that's King Jehoiakim, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Go down to verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burnt the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burnt. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. You can read there in that text of Scripture the consequences of Jehoiakim's folly of rejecting God's word. It was that Nebuchadnezzar would come and conquer the land of Judah and conquer the city of Jerusalem. And of course, when we read Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, that is what is happening. In Daniel 1 verse 1, we're reading the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 36. So we can see here, very simply, the folly of a king. Now what do we learn here? Before we say anything more, what do we learn here? We learn this, that we cannot reject God's word without severe consequences following. Jehoiakim refused to walk in the ways of God. The king of Judah refused to live according to God's truth. And because of this folly of resisting God's word and rejecting God's word and ripping up and burning God's word in the fire, not only was he judged, but a nation was judged. Let me stop there just for a moment. There are those in this congregation today, and you're not saved, and you're not born again of the Spirit of God. And like Jehoiakim, you are rejecting and resisting the Word of God. My friend, there are consequences for rejecting God's Word. And of course, the consequences will be hell forever. The Bible tells us over there in Psalm 9, and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And what a solemn truth that is. If you're not saved today, I pray that God will write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. If you keep on resisting the plain teaching of God's truth and rejecting the plain teaching of God's truth, and turning away from what you know is right, there will be consequences. You will end up in a lost eternity. And what a solemn word that is from this portion of Scripture this afternoon. My friend, do you realize the consequences for going on in your sin, living in your sin day by day, wanting nothing to do with God's way of salvation? The Bible today offers you salvation. Indeed, the Word of God declares that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his precious blood. And because of that sacrifice on Golgotha's brow, you can have forgiveness and you can begin your journey to heaven and you can be saved and you can be redeemed for time and for eternity.
But to reject the gospel means to be lost forever and forever and forever. Here we have the folly of a king. And we can see the consequences of this king turning away from the word of God. But let me say this. Daniel found himself in Babylon because of the folly of a king. But take a look at the text again in Daniel chapter 1. Because I want you to notice, secondly, the judgment of a God. Look carefully what it says in verse 2 of Daniel chapter 1. It says, "And the Lord give Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands." It was not the might or the power of Nebuchadnezzar's army that conquered Judah. Judah was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar's army because God permitted it. If the God of heaven had not given the nation over into the hands of the king of Babylon, Judah and Israel would never have been conquered. But because of the sin of a king and because of the sin of a nation, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of the king of Babylon. Therefore, and this is very important, this was God's judgment upon the nation. This was God's judgment upon the king of Judah. Just keep your hand again in Daniel and turn back again to Jeremiah chapter 36, and you'll see this more clearly. In Jeremiah 36 and verse 30 it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord," underline those words, "thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day of the heat and in the night of the frost. And I will," underline that, this is the Lord speaking, "I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them." This judgment is clearly the judgment that God would bring. And of course, when we come to Daniel chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, we can see, as I've said, the fulfillment of that judgment. But the point I want to make is this, that it was God's judgment that fell upon Jehoiakim and Judah at this time. And that is very clear to be seen at the beginning of verse 2. The judgment came from the Lord. Let me stop there again. You're not saved in this meeting. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Up until this point in your life, you're rejecting God's word. You're rejecting the gospel. You're rejecting salvation. Your attitude is, "I will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over me." Listen, my friend, when the judgment falls upon you, as it surely will, God will be the judge. When judgment falls upon sinners because of their rejection of God's word, the judgment will come from God himself. It will be the judgment of God that will fall upon the ungodly. Keep your hand again in Daniel 1 and turn over to the beginning of the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers chapter 16. We have here a very solemn portion of scripture. It's the judgment of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Korah, Dathan and Abiram withstood Moses. And when they withstood Moses, they withstood God, because Moses was God's servant and Moses was declaring the word of God. But Korah, Dathan and Abiram decided that they would not heed the word of God, just like Jehoiakim was doing in Jeremiah 36. And the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 16 that God judged them. and that the judgment that fell upon them came from the Lord. It didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from Aaron. It came from the Lord. Look at verse 24 of Numbers chapter 16. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertained unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Look at verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Look at verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. This judgment that we read about here was the judgment of God. You know, some people would tell us today that God is not a God of judgment, but he is a God of judgment. And here we have an incident in the book of Numbers where God judged men because they rejected his word. And the Bible tells us there in that portion of scripture that when the ground opened up, that Korah, Dathan and Abiram and all their company went down alive into hell. They went down into the pit. And there is a hell. And there is judgment to come. Because the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. Let me show you this in the New Testament before we go on. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And take a look with me there at verse 7. This portion of scripture is speaking about the second coming of Christ. Look what it says in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. So this is future judgment. We have been dealing up until this point with past judgments. The judgment of Korah and his company, past judgment. Even the judgment of Jehoiakim in the book of Daniel, past judgment. But here's a judgment day that is still to come. God is still the same. God hasn't changed. And look what it says concerning all those who reject his word and refuse to come and accept his way of salvation. It says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And look at chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord, underline it, friend, in your Bible, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness
of his coming. What solemn words we have here in this portion of Scripture. My friend, you're in this meeting today and you're not saved. Do you not fear the judgment of God? Do you not fear being lost in your sin forever? Do you not fear meeting God unprepared? The folly of a king. The judgment of a God. That's why Daniel found himself in the land of Babylon. Because of the folly of a king. And because of the judgment of a God. The God of heaven judged Judah and judged Israel. Now, look at Daniel chapter 1 again. Because there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice, thirdly, the captivity of a nation. After God permitted the king of Babylon to conquer Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Judah became the captives of Babylon. The nation now was under the control of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel 1 verse 3, King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that certain of the children of Judah were to be brought to Babylon, where they would be taught the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Those that were to be brought were to be of the king's seed and of the princes. And of course, Daniel was one of those that were brought at this time. Look at verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now look at verse 6. Now among these that were brought were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, Daniel was a captive. One who had been taken from Judah to Babylon after God judged King Jehoiakim and the nation for their sin of rejecting his word. And because of these circumstances, Daniel found himself in a place where, humanly speaking, he would not want to have been. He would not want to have been. But what was Daniel going to do? How was he going to react? How was he going to face the challenge ahead in these ungodly, hostile circumstances? Well, that's what we're going to find out in the course of these studies. How Daniel lived in Babylon. These verses, as we have been emphasizing, reveal unto us how Daniel found himself in Babylon. Because of the folly of a king, because of the judgment of a god, because of the captivity of a nation, Daniel found himself in a heathen land, among heathen people. And we have to emphasize that Daniel was one who loved the Lord, and we're going to find that out in the course of these studies. But how was Daniel going to react now that he had been brought down into Babylon? Well, that's what the rest of the book of Daniel is all about. You know, child of God, we don't know what our circumstances will be tomorrow. Because circumstances can change so quickly. They certainly changed quickly for Daniel, didn't they? One minute he was living in Judah. One minute he had all his family around him. And then all of a sudden his life was changed so dramatically. Brought out of his own land into an ungodly land.
taken away from his own family, brought in to a place where naturally he would not have wanted to be. And as we're going to find out, Daniel reacted wonderfully. Because in the midst of these changing circumstances, we're going to learn that Daniel stood up for God and was a faithful witness to the God of heaven. If our circumstances changed, how would we react? That's the question that I want to leave with you as we come to the end of our service this afternoon. Would we keep on living for God in our changed circumstances? Or would we backslide and blame God? We're going to find out that Daniel was faithful to God in his changing circumstances. You know, the catechism says, ask the question, what is man's chief end? And it gives the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Whatever our circumstances. And we're going to find out in these studies that Daniel remained faithful to God in Babylon. You know, I'm often reminded when I consider this subject of Job. Just turn over to Job chapter 1 for a moment. Job, the Bible tells us, was a great man of God. Look what it says at the beginning of Job chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What a testimony Job had. But we know, of course, what happened to Job. And when we read on down chapter 1 and chapter 2, Job's circumstances changed just like Daniel's circumstances changed. And of course, a number of his family were taken away from him very suddenly. And his farm was taken away from him very suddenly. And then he himself was afflicted with boils. And of course, if that was not bad enough, then his wife turned against him. Look what it says in Job 1, verse 20. After the first trials, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Although his circumstances changed, and changed, we could say for the worse, they changed dramatically. One minute he was in blessing, the next minute he found himself in the valley. Yet, although he found himself deep in the valley, his faith did not waver, and he did not blame God or charge God foolishly, but he continued serving the Lord to the best of his ability. And that's what Daniel did. We're going to find that out. Look again what Job says in chapter 2. And verse 9 and 10. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. In other words, his wife was saying to Job here, listen, Job, what's the point in serving the Lord? Look what has happened to you. Your children are dead. Your farm has been taken off you. Your body is full of boils. What's the point in going on? Curse God and die. God has left you and forsaken you. Oh, how his circumstances changed. But look what Job says in verse 10. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job was not going to let his changing circumstances stop him walking with God. And Daniel did the same. Daniel's now in Babylon. Because of the folly of a king, because of the judgment of a God, because of the captivity of a nation, Daniel finds himself now in Babylon, in a place where he did not want to be. What was he going to do? How was he going to react? Was he going to live for God in these changing circumstances? Or was he going to allow these circumstances that he was now in to change his living? You know, child of God, it's easy to live for God on a Sunday morning when you're sitting in church. And it's easy to live for God on a Sunday evening when you're sitting in church. But how do you live from Monday to Saturday? How do you live when no one else sees you living? Young person, how do you live when your parents don't see you? Or more importantly, how do you live when you think that God doesn't see you? Remember this, God always sees us. Daniel was not going to allow his circumstances to change how he stood for God and how he witnessed for God and how he lived for God. And we are going to find out that that's the wonderful truth that is brought out about his life. Oh, child of God, let us live for God, whatever our circumstances. Let us praise the name of the God of glory, no matter what life brings. Now, it's easy to say that when you're in your health and strength. Friend, I have to confess, I don't know what sickness really is. I don't know what it is up until this point in my life. Because the Lord has blessed me with good health and strength, and I thank Him for it every day. But oh, I pray earnestly. I pray earnestly, whatever tomorrow brings for me, that God will help me to live for Him if circumstances should change. I pray today, if the Lord has blessed you with good health and strength, thank Him for it. Thank Him for the blessings of life. Thank Him for all the good that He has shown to you today. Oh, thank Him, child of God, thank Him. But remember this, things could change tomorrow. Then, how would you react? It's easy to walk with God when you're on the mountaintop. Very easy. But when God brings us into the valley, then that's when the test really comes. And we're going to see how Daniel passed the test. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy word, for the challenge of Thy word. Oh God, help us to live for Thee in this day and age. Whatever our circumstances, help us to lift up our hearts and praise Thee. Oh God, Thou dost know that we are only but flesh, dust and ashes. But we thank Thee, Lord, that You can give strength and power in the day of trouble. And You can give grace in time of need. And oh God, as we're going to find out, You give Daniel this grace. And Lord, we know that You give Job this grace. Oh God, give each and every one of us that grace to live for Thee, whatever life throws at us, and whatever valley You bring us in to. We pray, Lord, that You would save the sinner. Oh God, we've been learning today again that judgment will fall upon those who reject God's word and who reject God's salvation. But we thank Thee that there's grace, saving grace today for all those who turn and trust in Thee as their own and personal Saviour. And oh God, I pray that even this Lord's Day there might be those who will seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. bless the studies in Daniel. O God, we commit these studies to Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Your Word would bless us and challenge us from week to week. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know. Thus saith the Lord Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. 462, and we'll stand to sing. Father in heaven, we pray for those today who are going through valleys that we know nothing of. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless them and be with them and encourage them and strengthen them. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord. O God, that You would help us in all our circumstances, O God, to live for Thee and to serve Thee. And to be content, Lord,
in the circumstances that we're found. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us grace. We thank thee, Lord, you've promised to add grace to grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. How we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word to our hearts. Separate us now in your love. And we pray, Lord, as we remain for prayer, that you would give us the spirit of prayer and the spirit of intercession. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.